please remain standing for the gospel reading from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. This conversation between Pilate and Jesus is a small scene of a larger drama. If it were a drama set on stage, the stage would be divided in half. One side of the stage would represent Pilate's headquarters, and the other half represents the porch or portico just outside Pilate's headquarters. And standing on the portico are the religious leaders who have brought Jesus to Pilate to have him put to trial. The drama begins with Pilate on the portico asking the Jewish leaders, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They reply that he's a criminal, and Pilate tells them to take him themselves and judge him. The leaders respond that they can't because they aren't allowed to put anyone to death. Pilate then goes back across the stage to his headquarters, and this is where our scene that I just read takes place. Pilate summons Jesus and asks him if he's the king of the Jews. Jesus doesn't really give him a clear answer. He tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world and that he has come into the world to testify to the truth. He goes on to say that everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. Pilate then goes out to the portico again and tells the Jewish people that who have gathered there that he finds no case against Jesus. He offers to release Jesus since there is a custom of releasing a prisoner on Passover. The people cry out to release Barabbas instead. Pilate then has Jesus flogged. The soldiers place a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on his body. Pilate goes out again on the portico and tells the people that he finds no case against Jesus. He then has Jesus brought out to the portico, and the religious leaders cry out, "Crucify him." Pilate again says that he finds no case against him. But the people reply that their law says he ought to die since he claims to be the Son of God. Pilate then goes back to the headquarters, and he is afraid. And he asks Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus doesn't answer him. Pilate then goes out to the portico and again tries to release Jesus. But the religious leaders cry out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be king sets himself against the emperor. Throughout this whole drama, we are told that Pilate moves between the headquarters and the portico not once, not twice, but a total of 7 times. He wavers back and forth between Jesus and his accusers 7 times. In this wavering, we see that he is torn. He's torn between what he knows is right and what is politically savvy. If he sets Jesus free, which would be the right thing to do, he puts his allegiance to the empire at risk. If he has Jesus crucified, which would be the easiest thing to do to protect his empire allegiance, he denies his inclination to do what is right. And so he wavers between the reign of the empire and the reign of Jesus. As we watch this drama unfold on stage from our seats in the audience, it might be tempting for us to sit back and judge Pilate for his wavering. However, this drama plays out in our very own lives all the time, and we can easily find ourselves in Pilate's role. We find ourselves wavering between the reign of other empires and the reign of Jesus. One empire that seeks to reign supreme this time of year is the empire of consumerism. Advertisements are ramped up into high gear to try and get us to buy as much stuff as possible this holiday season. They tell us that in order to have the perfect Christmas, in order for our loved ones to feel special, we have to bombard them with stuff. Now, as we know, there is real value in giving gifts to others. However, this empire of consumerism manipulates that value into creating a cultural pressure that turns the focus of Christmas into getting more stuff. And we at times waver under this cultural pressure of the empire of consumerism, particularly if we have kids and grandkids, because we want them to get a lot of stuff. This empire of consumerism causes people to fight over products during the craziness of Black Friday. Every other allegiance to decency and respect is severed during Black Friday sales. When the empire of consumerism reigns over us, it threatens our allegiance to Jesus. Our identity and value is wrapped up into the stuff that we have and can get, instead of being rooted in God's love for us. Christmas becomes more about the gifts that we give and receive rather than the birth of Jesus. And we find ourselves wavering between the reign of consumerism and the reign of Jesus. Another empire that seeks to reign supreme over us is other people's perception of us. Now, this empire is subtle, because there is some value in how others perceive of us, because we don't want to be seen as jerks who completely disregard others. However, when we receive our identity and worth from others' perception of us, we are allowing their perception to reign over us. When we do something for someone else in order to win their praise and admiration, then we are allowing their perception to control and define us. When the reign of others' perception and expectations reign over us, we seek to find our identity and value in their perception of us rather than finding our identity and value in God, in our relationship with God. We find ourselves wavering between the reign of others' perception and the reign of Jesus. Another empire that seeks to reign over us is the empire of America. Now, this empire tells us that we are to be subservient citizens who pledge our undying loyalty to the country. Now, there is real value in being good citizens. We have the privilege to vote. We have the responsibility to abide by the law. We have the duty to pay our taxes to keep the economy and government running. However, the empire of America reigns over us when we allow our commitment to the country to override our allegiance to Jesus and God's kingdom. Amen. When there are laws in our country that oppress others, the empire of America tells us to be good citizens and abide by the law, even when the law is unjust. The empire, as it is governed today, tells us to fear the stranger, demonize the foreigner, criminalize those seeking refuge, and only look out for number one. However, the kingdom of God tells us to stand up for the oppressed, welcome the stranger, care for the foreigner, and provide for those in need. Many Christians today find themselves wavering between the reign of the American empire and the reign of Jesus. Pilate wavers between the reign of the Roman Empire and the reign of Jesus. In the end of this drama, after all his wavering back and forth, his allegiance to the Roman Empire wins out, and Jesus is crucified. As we celebrate Christ the King Sunday today, also known as Reign of Christ Sunday, I want us to take time to reflect on this question. Who or what is reigning over you? Who or what have you given your ultimate allegiance to? What other empires have you allowed to define and control you? Samuel Oliver Bruno has lived in this country for more than 22 years. He and his wife came here on a work visa. His son was born here in America and is a U.S. citizen. And his wife has several serious medical conditions. And she underwent heart surgery a few years ago here in the States. On Friday, Samuel arrived at the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services office in Morrisville, North Carolina, for an appointment. He was seeking to defer his deportation back to Mexico and was trying to file the necessary paperwork. He was joined by his 19-year-old son, a pastor at City Well United Methodist Church, and other members of the church and other clergy. Once he and his son completed the paperwork, they got in line to be processed. And that is when the ICE agents tackled him and arrested him. The pastors and church members attempted to stop this by creating a human wall around the van outside that the ICE agents were going to use to transport Samuel. Now, they succeeded in delaying it for 2 hours, but in the end, all the pastors and church members were arrested. These people allowed their allegiance to Jesus and God's kingdom to reign supreme on Friday and in the past several years that they have supported Samuel and his family. The reign of Jesus defines them, gives them their identity, and guides their actions in the midst of other empires who seek to control and define. May we remember on this Christ the King Sunday that we are citizens of another kingdom. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And our ultimate allegiance lies with Jesus. Amen.